Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. You can find us on divorceview.com. Hello, my name is Joni Winberg, founder of the National Association of Divorce for Women and Children, as well as the online course, How to Emotionally Survive Divorce. It's always my pleasure to do the Divorce View Talk Show with my co-host, Rosalind Sadaka. Hello, Roz.
Hi, Joni. Good to see you again this week. I'm Rosalind Sadaka. I'm recognized as the voice of child-centered divorce, founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network, and a divorce and parenting coach. And I'm very excited about our program today because we're talking about a topic that isn't brought up immediately when one thinks about divorce, but boy, is it an area of vulnerability for anyone who's contemplating divorce or going through it, and we don't want the consequences to negatively affect you long after divorce. And I'm sure our guests will be able to tell us many stories about how that can happen. So, Joni, why don't you introduce our guest?
Absolutely. The topic we're going to be talking about is the do's and don'ts with your credit during and after divorce. So we have a credit coach, Jeannie Kelly, and she's been helping people for over 15 years actually help them rebuild a healthier credit score and then help them with any credit issues. And she's also the owner of the Kelly Group. So, Jeannie, we're just thrilled you're here. This great topic.
Thank you for having me, ladies. Yes. Credit is so important.
Yes. Tell us.
I mean, obviously we use it all the time, but a lot of times we don't think about it until we need it. Right. And but definitely during divorce, I think people are thinking about so many other things. They're not thinking about the credit part at all. And it's something very important to be talking about during the during the divorce, because you may have no idea what could be going on with your credit. So the number one rule and the number one do is pull your credit report. Mm-hmm. And you can do that for free at annualcreditreport.com. So pull your credit report. And when you pull your credit report, it does not hurt your credit score. A lot of people think, you know, every time they go for credit, it drops their score. Yes, but not if you are pulling it to look at it. So Okay. Don't be afraid of doing that.
So what about, are there different situations? Because I know people may be thinking about divorce. They should start right then and there to find out what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, bottom line, divorce or not, you should be looking at your credit report, you know, but definitely during, you know, if you're financially attached to this person, you definitely should be looking at your credit report, because the next do is highlight everything that's on the credit report that is a joint account, Okay. Meaning with your soon-to-be ex, you know, so you definitely want to look at that. And I've had a lot of clients who don't realize that if it has a zero balance, they think, well, who cares? It matters because it might not be damaging you now, but if that ex goes and charges on it and brings that balance up high and then can't afford to pay it, you'll still be jointly responsible. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, get the credit report. That's number one. And the next thing is highlight it. Anything that says joint, paid or unpaid.
Okay. So it says joint. Does it actually give the amount that's owed between the
yes.
two?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it'll show the amount. So, you know, you'll want to highlight everything. You'll see the amount that's due. And again, even if it's a zero balance, you want to highlight everything that says joint. And a lot of times, obviously, that means a mortgage, you know, and then it could mean credit cards. It could be an automobile loan, but whatever it is that says joint, highlight those items. That's what you want to focus on.
Mm-hmm. If you do happen to have some that have zero balance and it's a joint, is that a good time to maybe get your name off of it or something?
Yes. So the next thing would be definitely do get your name off it. And if you can get your name off it, great. If they say no, because maybe you're the financial one that got that account approved, then you close the account. And normally I don't want to see my clients close accounts, but you have to if it's joint, because otherwise you'll still be married to him with that account, you know? So you want to resolve everything. And again, I've had a lot of people that they don't do it on purpose. Let's say you went once to Best Buy and bought a refrigerator and you both, you know, for some reason applied for the card together and it's paid and it's zero. 5 years later, someone could go in to buy a TV, you know, and they could say, do you have an account? I don't know. You know, right at the cash register, they could pull it up and they're not doing it on purpose, but it could be happening.
Yes.
You know, so that's why it's just so easy to, if it's a zero balance, it's a lot easier to deal with those accounts and either get your name off or close it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the next do?
Well, the next is knowing with your divorce decree, knowing that even if the judge said he has to pay these six accounts, mm-hmm, and you have to pay these two, know that just because the judge said it doesn't mean the lender approved that. So you are still jointly responsible with that person. If your ex pays those accounts late, those lates will still go on your credit report. And if the person doesn't pay those accounts and they go into collection, you are still financially responsible for those accounts. Mm-hmm. So you have to be really like, when, if someone has the finances to pay them to zero and close them, that's what you really want to do. You know, it's not just about that paying it. That I've had so many clients say, but I have the paperwork, I'll show it to you, I'm not responsible anymore. The bank didn't approve that. So, you know, it doesn't matter when you deal with a bank, if you're married to the person, if you did the account, if it's your child, if it's a business partner, you both receive that credit card together. So if you decide to end that agreement, you have to do it with the lender as well. The only way to protect yourself, if there is a balance and the person can't pay it off, at least close it at that point that no further damage can be done. Mm-hmm. But be aware that you are still financially responsible with the lender.
This is such important advice. I can't tell you how many horror stories I've heard from clients, yeah, who have gotten caught up this way, innocently and naively not understanding the consequences for themselves. And those consequences can be 5, even 10 years down the line, yes, if they haven't taken your advice. So it's so important that you're stressing this right now, and everyone, yes, needs to look and clean up your relationship with money to your ex so that you can move ahead and especially reestablish your own personal identity with credit.
Exactly.
So tell us more.
Exactly. And talking about that, rebuild individual accounts.
Yes.
You know, start to rebuild to have your own individual accounts. And that's the perfect time to do it. You know, I don't care if it's even a $500 new charge card. As long as it's something individual, you're starting to rebuild healthy new credit for yourself. Mm. So that's very important to keep doing.
Can you speak a little bit more about why that's so important for people who haven't had personal individual credit, who maybe had been married for many years and just, mm-hmm, had that team credit card, to suddenly, yeah, understand what happens to you in the real world when you don't have individual credit?
Right, exactly. I mean, sometimes if you have no credit at all and you were just on, you know, your husband's account as an authorized user, you have to start fresh. It's almost like having no credit and, mm, never having credit. So yes, you have to build, and it doesn't take long. You know, if you can't get credit and you get a secured credit card, that's a way of rebuilding, meaning secured, like you take $500, put it in the savings that they secure that, mm-hmm, you will only have a $500 limit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the limit is, as long as you're using that new account in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And so let's say you use it up once to 500, bring it down, always pay it on time. And if you pay it on time and use it in a healthy way, it's going to report that way. And I'm sure your credit, you'll get other offers as time goes by. But yeah, you definitely want to be building your own credit because you may need a loan in your own name. You may need a new apartment. They're going to be looking at your credit report.
Or car, you know.
Car, cell yeah. phone, insurance.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, jobs don't look at your credit score, but many of them look at your credit report. So many things. So you definitely want to have, credit. So mm-hmm. It's a good time to rebuild and get the secured card, get a store card. If there's a store you shop in, you know, whatever it is to start rebuilding.
Just open it up. Was it true to help with your credit too, if you're trying to build it where you said pay it on time?
Yes.
I've heard that if you also pay more than the minimum payment, that helps too. Is that true or not?
Well, when it comes to your credit report, we want to see the account and we would love to see it not maxed out. So okay. If you have a $500 account, you don't want to use it up to 500. If you could use it no more than even to keep the balance low at $100, it shows, oh, her ratio is very good here. You know, there's a lower balance. It's paid mm-hmm. on time. So if you're paying over the minimum, that's great, but you want to never really max out those cards.
Okay, so that's more important.
Yeah, that's definitely more important. I mean, the magic number with credit cards is 20% of the limit. So I always say, try to pretend that is your limit.
Okay.
You know? And then you'll get the most part of the score using it that way.
Mm-hmm. So this is a person who might have a clue that they're thinking about a divorce, so they're going to get a divorce. But like you said, you've had horror stories of people who all of a sudden are in the middle of a divorce. It's never too late to work on this, I guess.
Never too late. It's never too late. You know, I would love it if before they sign the dotted line, you know, of the divorce papers to look at it. But even if they did that, it's still not too late. You look at it, you can still do this afterwards and resolve the accounts. And I mean, I highly suggest if you are going through a divorce, yes, I started with saying pull your own credit. But I would definitely, during a divorce, be monitoring it. So if you know you're not going to have time to keep once a month maybe checking your credit report to make sure everything's being paid like you're told, monitor it, find a service that does it, and it's definitely going to help you financially in the long run.
But the bottom line that I'm hearing is disconnect.
Disconnect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're ending that relationship, yeah, if you're ending the relationship, end it also with your credit. You know? I mean, a lot of times with the mortgage, that may not be able to happen, but right. All the other accounts, at least protect yourself in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Roz and I are always here for the kids' sake, and I think it's important to maybe the mom and dad to be role models for their kids. I mean, is there any thoughts on that? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. Healthy credit in the household so they learn, you know, and moving on. You know, it's a good thing to talk about budgets and money and teaching. You know, a lot of kids are graduating colleges with all these student loans and they didn't even understand anything about it, you know, or what they were signing up for. So, of course, it's important to be teaching this to your children. And I'm always writing about building credit, you know, with a young person, because also when they get out of college and they're going to go into the workforce, whether they have student loans or not, they may need an apartment on their own. Like, how much longer do we have to rely on mom and dad? You may need to be doing all these things on your own. So if you've been building healthy credit at, you know, at 18, start building it, using it in a wise way, credit will always be on your side. Mm-hmm. So the credit cards are a tool for the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And the bigger picture could be the home, the auto loans, and things like that. So yeah, definitely.
It must be pretty scary when you're a student and you've got $100,000 worth of student
yes.
loans.
Like, it's very scary. Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, I know. You know? And you really got to be on top of those student loans and make sure you're in a payment plan correctly. You know, with student loans, Joni, they report every time, every semester, it's a new loan.
Oh,
so
really?
Imagine, yeah, so when you do graduate, you want to consolidate them. So let's say worst case, you are late once. Let's have it on one account, not 10 accounts for the whole college, you know, because your credit report would, you know, have more dings in it than necessary.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just wanted to mention that we've been using the pronoun she through this conversation, but obviously everything you're saying is equally relevant for women and men.
Of course.
So this is just as important for the men.
Absolutely.
The key message is separate your finances as early on as possible. Now, many of our listeners are co-parents, and so their parenting relationship is continuing and expenses for the children are continuing, but you have to clean and separate your credit in the divorce and then make agreements about how things are being paid in the future, and both sides cooperating in issues such as healthcare, savings for college, all of the big expenses that come up. And those are usually part of parenting plans that are devised before the divorce is completed. But all of that can be discussed even long after the divorce, as long as you're both cooperating in that manner and sides are taking care of their financial responsibilities.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times people don't think credit. They're not thinking about the credit. They're thinking about, you know, exactly what you're saying, dividing the things up, but not focusing on this. And your credit can really hinder you if you can't get that auto loan, you know, and you need that new car and you know you can afford it. But if your ex is paying bills late and it's damaging you, and keeping your credit score low, it's really unfortunate. So, you know, you really, the don't is don't trust your ex with your credit.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge don't.
It's sabotaging your life if you're not paying attention to Jeannie's message, because you can create terrible sabotage in so many ways that are very complex and convoluted to extricate yourself from.
Yeah.
And not that, and I'm just going to be a little facetious here, but not that our ex would ever go and take the credit card and buy extra things. I mean,
right,
you know, especially if one is annoyed with the other one.
Right. And that's never. What I don't.
It's
I always say, don't do the revenge shopping.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, no revenge shopping.
I was reviewing your notes, and you mentioned that's including when you're separating your credit or the credit cards, is to also change your address so that you're not even affiliated with that address.
I do suggest that, you know, because a lot of times either you move out of the home and your things are still going there, or you're staying there, but then your ex still has all your information. You know, obviously your address, your name, your social, date of birth, and ex would have that. So they would even be able to, not legally, but they could go in and look at your credit report because they have your information. Mm. You don't want that. So I always suggest, because I've had people tell me that their ex was looking at their credit. So get a different address. You know, whether if you're staying in that home, then get a P.O. box. Change all of your mail to the P.O. box that no one would know about, your credit cards, your utility bill, and have that. Change it with the creditors, change it with the credit bureau, and then you'll know, you know, that you have that all safe and under control for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
And it's something so simple, people don't think about it.
Mm. Well, there's so much going on during a divorce, but
yes.
I think the big picture is, you know, cut the cord and cut it complete, and that includes credit cards and everything.
Right, exactly.
Anything else that you want to share with us, Jeannie, or any stories that can help really highlight this point that you're making?
Well, a story would be for helping women or men moving on from the divorce. And if you are going to be purchasing things, large items, let's say like a home loan, you want to know your FICO score. I've had a lot of people, it's so sad, so many people coming into me saying, I thought I had everything together. I thought my credit score was a high 750. But then when I went to the bank, you know, they're telling me they use this different scoring model. So 90% of lenders use the FICO credit scoring.
Okay.
And you can purchase your FICO score. Again, if you purchase it, it doesn't hurt your credit as an inquiry. There is a fee. And that's where I would even monitor my credit, because to me, if I'm going to look at a credit score, that I'm going to look at the same one lenders are. 90% is a big chunk. So myfico.com is a great, you know, that's where you can go directly to get your credit report and score. And it's a huge thing to know what your score is.
Mm-hmm. And to check on it. You're saying keep an eye on it at least monthly. If you're going,
if you're going through a divorce, I would.
Monthly. Okay.
Yeah. I would definitely be doing that.
Jeannie, I understand that you work nationally, so regardless of where people are, they can access you and get the counseling and the coaching they need for the kind of services we're talking about. Can you tell us how to find you?
Yes, they can go to JeannieKelly.net. So my name's spelled JeannieKelly.net. And everything's right there. You can find me. We can do coaching sessions. I have a great team of experts. We're here to help, and we're here to protect you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah. To me, just to have an expert watching out for something as sensitive as your credit score, it's great to have a professional. And your website again, Jeannie?
It's JeannieKelly.net.
Okay.
So that's JeannieKelly.net.
Perfect.
So when people work with you, is this usually a one or two session process, or is it a multi-session process? What are the various ways that people work with you?
I've had people work with me once and never again. It was enough in a half an hour coaching session. I've had people, if they're going through a lot of different things, they may need me four times during the year. You know, so it really just depends on how complex the issue is. Mm-hmm. But, sometimes, again, it's just one half an hour phone call. And I also have a credit club. So if they don't want to even, you know, take that half an hour and they just want to online help themselves, they can do it right online through my credit club.
How does that work? What do you provide there?
Well, I provide the tools to help them rebuild their credit. You know, definitely there's lots of articles and tips regarding divorce and credit, and, you know, put them on a new game plan that's individual for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous.
That's great, because the bottom line, you want to raise that credit score for yourself.
Yeah, you definitely do. You want to have healthy credit. Hopefully you both, you know, you and your ex can resolve this in a positive way and you'll both have healthy credit. But the number one thing is you have to protect yourself. And this is something that gets overlooked, and it's so important.
Oh, big time. This can follow you for a long time.
And what's the biggest mistake that you find after doing this for such a long time?
Well, you know what? I got into this, believe it or not, because of a divorce and doing nothing from what I'm saying right now. I didn't pay attention during the marriage about the bills. And I definitely didn't pay attention to it during the divorce. And then all of a sudden, I realized I had bad credit. Mm-hmm. And so again, I think the number one thing from my own lesson to all of my clients is they really just weren't aware. They weren't paying attention. You know, you're thinking about where are you going to live? You know, what are you going to do with your child? Are you staying in the same school district? Do you want to keep everything, you know, mentally together? And sometimes you're not thinking about the financial, and you really have to pay attention, because just like Joni said, it can last years. Mm. You know, it took me years to recover from this. You know, Now I can help people like this, but it took me a long time, and it's very stressful when it's your own situation. So if you can prevent a lot of this, it's just worth it, not because of the money, because of the mental stress of it all.
Yes. And that's why I so often really advocate the team approach to divorce. When you are getting a divorce and if you have a team around you, it's actually less expensive because of all the many ways that you are saving yourself financially as well as emotionally and psychologically, to have someone who's coaching you on the emotional impact of the divorce, the legal impact of the divorce, the financial future of the divorce, the credit, real estate, the co-parenting and children aspect, all of those can you can access someone who is coaching and supporting you and guiding you. It makes the divorce faster, and you short-circuit a lot of obstacles that come along when you're naive and just weren't expecting them.
Right.
That's why we
absolutely.
And Jeannie, what you're doing is so unique, and everyone needs you.
Well, we all use credit. I mean, we really do. So
right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have you repeat your website one more time.
Okay, so it's my name, Jeannie Kelly, which is spelled JeannieKelly.net.
Perfect. Jeannie, so thanks so much for being on the
show. Thank you, ladies, for having me.
We're just excited to get this out because it is such a delicate topic, and it needs top priority or your top your full attention.
Yeah,
so thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And also to our listeners, make sure that you tune in to the divorceview.com website, and that's where you will see the different videos that we have that we bring to you every week, as well as we are now a podcast, and you can click on there. But we also like to let you know what we individually do as far as how we can support you. So, Roz, how can you support people during and after divorce?
Well, if you come to childcenteredivorce.com, there's a wealth of information, advice, support, and valuable resources. I have a free ebook right on the homepage, and then I have a weekly newsletter and blog articles, and I have a really useful 10-hour audio coaching program with a workbook that'll focus you in the right direction for every facet of co-parenting. So there's no need to grope around and make mistakes. If you get started, you're on the right track.
And, that's sure. all available.
And then I do personal coaching as well. So all of that's available at childcenteredivorce.com. And Joni, what resources do you have?
If you go to freshstartafterdivorce.com, that's where you will see the online courses that I talk about, how to emotionally survive divorce. I'm kind of a bottom liner. I know going through my divorce, I was always searching for the hows, and I was getting a lot of great philosophy, but I would always leave the conversation, tell me how to do this. So that's exactly what I do is help people learn the house, and it's and actually a 4-week process that gives you all the tools that you need to be as stress-free as possible and to how to get along with your ex as much as possible, as well as your kids. So go there. There's 2 actually online interactive courses. They are live, so it's interactive courses, and you can also always connect with me there as well. But thanks again, everyone, for tuning in this week to the Divorce.
Let's just remind everyone, the website is divorceview.com, and you can click on the podcast to subscribe so that you'll be notified every week about the podcast. And archived at divorceview.com are dozens and dozens of expert interviews we've done that handle any facet of divorce that you're looking for. So
That's
be
right.
sure to join us there.
Thanks, Ross. Excellent. So thanks again for tuning in. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.